الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى، وخلق الزوجين الذكر والأنثى، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، جعل للناس من أنفسهم أزواجا ليسكنوا إليها، وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، فاللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك على حبيبنا محمدٍ وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسانٍ إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us in the most perfect of manners and created males and females so that they may come together and live in harmony, peace and tranquility. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble and beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of husbands, the best of men, the best of mankind, and the most prestigious and most honorable of all prophets and messengers. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and his righteous family and the noble companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Alhamdulillah, on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, we have gathered to inform ourselves about the directives and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he has designed us and what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live our lives. And for the last few weeks, we have discussed the importance of talking, communicating and developing a relationship with your children, and answering difficult questions that they may pose, educating yourself and going to those people who know the answers in a more comprehensive manner, and remembering that your children look to you. You are their world, and therefore you need to use that relationship and that bond to your advantage and make sure that they always come to you for guidance, they always come to you when they have any particular questions. And to be proactive and to prepare for each and every stage of the lives of our children, the emotional stage, the psychological stage, the mental, the intelligent, the intellectual stage, various in the biological stages that our children go through. And then we discuss the importance of tahara, of purity, and the importance of salah in developing a child's mind towards a connection and a bond towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also towards removing all types of filth, all types of khaba'is, all types of things which are despicable to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam hates, and those things which are not good for humanity. And we will carry on inshallah al-aziz this Jumu'ah, and hopefully we will conclude next Jumu'ah and all of the various particular things that I wanted to share with you about gender, identity, relationships, modesty, reproduction and various other aspects. So we come on to today's discussion following from previous 2 weeks about gender and relationships in Islam. First and foremost, as you know, that parents are the ones who should be at the forefront of these discussions. And then this is further supported and reinforced by the imams and the scholars and the teachers in the madaris, in the religious sphere. Because when your children go to school, they will learn a secular perspective. They will learn what liberals want them to learn. They will learn what people want to live without a religion and without a faith. But in the home and within the madaris and the masajid, it is your duty to make sure that you counter what they are hearing. So parents should be highlighting and encouraging and celebrating the differences between girls and boys. That doesn't mean that you don't treat your children equally, because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam always commanded us to treat the children, the boy and the girl, equally in the same respect and honor. And the way that you feed them and clothe them, in that manner you treat them equally. Nevertheless, you remind them that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a female, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a male. So remind them of the differences between male and female, and discourage boys and girls from interacting with each other in a manner that is not beneficial, in a manner that is not befitting towards our religion, towards our heritage, towards our values and morals and ethics, and having that segregation in society, and having that parda, that sharam, that haya, and that understanding that this is a mother, this is a daughter, this is a son, this is a brother, this is a cousin. All of these rishti is very important for you to clearly outline and say, this is what a male is, what a female is, and these are their rishti, and these are how you need to interact with a woman, how you need to interact with a male. So instilling that masculinity within men and instilling that femininity within women is the duty, primary duty of the parents. Because if you see and reflect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the bodies of men and the bodies of women very distinctly. And there's no doubt about that. There's no biological doubt, there's no scientific doubt about that, there's no physical doubt about that. That men are created in a particular way with a particular anatomy, and females have been created in a particular way with a particular anatomy, and they have their own features and they have their own characteristics and are defined and distinctly created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The face of a female and the face of a male is different. Their voices are different. The hair is different. The limbs are different. Biologically and mentally, they grow at different stages, at different rates, and certain abilities are enhanced within a woman, and certain abilities of testosterone and various other things are enhanced within men. So this is not something that we should be fighting against. Rather, we should be explaining this to our children, that beta or my beti, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, and to celebrate the differences. Remember, I mentioned that we equally treat the boy and the girl, but nevertheless we define and say, these are your characteristics as a male and these are your characteristics as a female. Even in the way that a girl walks is very distinct to the way that a male walks. The way that a girl communicates is distinct to the way that a male communicates as well. The way that they behave, all of these things are distinct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of these things in the Quran, that when one of the two daughters of Sayyidina Musa, they came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam walking with shyness. فَاسْتَمْشِي أَلَسْتِحْيَا. The way, the description of how she was walking was with shyness in a manner. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when addressing the men, speaks about when you walk on earth, don't walk on earth arrogantly, exuberantly. This is addressed to the males as well. And even when we hear the description, the sifa of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was described that he would walk with vigor. He would walk with determination. He wouldn't walk dilla and, you know, this like that. He would walk with focus and determination, as though he was descending a mountain, as though he was descending a hill. And the way that is described, yamshi mashyan qawiyan sari'an, a strong, powerful walk. This is how the description of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is towards his walking as well. And in this day and age, when things are being so coalesced and mixed together, that is very, very hard more and more to differentiate between who is a male and a female. Females are cutting their hair in the same style as men. Men are developing and styling their hair in particular ways, that it's hard to distinguish whether this is a male, whether this is a female as well. Female have distinct things that define them, whether it is their earrings or the rings that they wear, or their bracelets and anklets. And men are not allowed or permitted in Islam to have this type of beautification. For gold is prohibited, silk is prohibited, piercing the body is prohibited for males. Why? Because you have a distinct way that you should appear as opposed to the women. But if parents allow the male to be like the female and dress like the female and talk like the female and behave like the female, and vice versa, females are allowed and permitted to dress like the male and behave like the male and be a masculine, then you will see that there will be this huge cataclysm, this huge nuksan that will be coming towards our way, because we have not defined or clearly celebrated and instilled within our children the biological and the emotional and the spiritual and physical differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And for you, it is important to remember, because some children may say, well, I feel like a girl. And sometimes, certainly, they act like girls. Or a female may say, I feel like a man. And then they consequently want to act like a man. But for us, and for us Muslims and mu'mins and believers, we need to sit down with our children and remind them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Is He not? Of course. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is munazzah, above and beyond all of His creation, and everything that He does is also perfect as well. So perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when a child makes that claim, however innocent it may be, that I don't feel like a male or I don't feel like a female and I feel like I'm in the wrong body, I'm trapped in this particular body. Psychological reasons, emotional reasons, biological reasons, these are some of the reasons humans will utilize. But what that infers and what that is stating is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a mistake along the way. That this girl feels like a male, therefore Allah's made a mistake, He should have made her into a male. Or this male feels like a female, and therefore Allah made a mistake because of these emotions and these feelings and this biology, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a mistake. Oh, Allah ta'ala got confused and consequently made this male into a female or this female into a male. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. He is above and beyond His creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make any mistakes whatsoever. It is human nature to err. It is human nature to be misguided. It is human nature to get confused, not the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah azza wa jalla does not trap a woman in a man's body, and vice versa, does not trap a man into a woman's body. Our decisions and our feelings and our emotions and what is acceptable in society, all of these norms, they fluctuate from time to time. Whereas the amr, the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fluctuate. It does not change with time. It does not change with society. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمِ. So direct your face towards the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inclining towards the truth, adhering to the primordial nature, the fitrah, the nature, the norm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you upon, and there will be no change in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore those people who are making these claims or allowing these claims to develop within their homes, they need to be asking themselves, what are they allowing? What are they permitting? And how much are they instilling within the child's mind and heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make mistakes? You are a male and these are your distinct features. You are a female and these are your distinct features. And you need to be carrying your life and living your life according to the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. This is the correct religion. This is the correct way of life. This is the way that you have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way. Allah ta'ala does not make mistakes. Allah ta'ala does not get confused. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the correct religion, but most of the people do not know. And this is where our children are going towards one side and the other side, because they're not following their religion. And then even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he then became a clot. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, then made him proper and created from him a pair, the male and the female. So even here within gender, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran again and again describes the male gender and describes the female gender. And it's important for us to, from a young age, be giving that counter narrative within the religious sphere, within our homes, within our masajid, within our madaris, that this is how we view gender, this is how you have been created, and whatever is taught within the secular society, we need to be countering that, but you need to be understanding yourself, the importance of instilling this core identity within a child from a young age, that yes, you treat them equally, as a boy and a girl, you treat them equally in your respect and your love and your admiration and the clothing and the food, but you distinctly remind them that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a male, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a female. And as I mentioned, societies and the norms of society, they change. Before, in the 1800s and 19, and before that, women had no rights whatsoever. They didn't even own themselves, let alone property or wealth or the right to vote. Before even alcohol, there was a time which was prohibited as well in America and even in the UK, and you would be prosecuted for that as well. And drugs as well, and homosexuality, and so many other things in society that were detestable, that were rejected, that were abhorrent to society, but now they have become the norm, and it is perfectly acceptable for you to act or behave in this particular way. But for us as Muslims, it's important to remember that the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change subject to time or subject to people or the norms of society. Our path is the straight path, and this is the path that we remind ourselves and need to be reminding your children, that why do you keep on saying ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, that established path, that straight path of gender, of identity, of relationships, of fitrah, of creation, of who you are and what you're supposed to do, that established path from the beginning of time of Adam alayhi salam till the end of time. That is the path that we must be on, our children must be on, and not the path of the shaitan, and not the path of your whims or your desires or your just of your particular minds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Created you from what? From males and from females, and made you into peoples and tribes so that you may get to know another. There is no third gender or no other agenda here in this particular verse of the Quran. And from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore reminds us that whosoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, whilst being a believer, those are the people that will enter paradise, and they will not be wronged, even the speck on a date seed. So if you are neither a male or a female, then where will you be ending up is a question that you need to ask. But Allah, again and again, that zakarin wa unsa, male or female, any person, equality here, you do good deeds, you stay on the straight path, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be wronged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at your deficiencies or anything else, you look at whether you did the right thing or not. And remind your children, and you remind yourself, that these ideologies that are being spread within our community, within our homes and societies, that these are the steps of the shaitan. And this is not the step, and this is not certainly the path that we want ourselves to be on, or our children to be on. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan fa innahu ya'muru bil fahsha'i wal munkar. That whoever follows the footsteps of the shaitan, he will only encourage you and bid you towards indecency and towards evil, towards fahsha and munkar, bighayrati and bisharmi. And this is the path that he wants you to be on. He wants your children to be on. This is what he wants the future generations to be, away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that aspect of gender, celebrating the gender of a male and a female, instilling that from a young age within your children, nevertheless treating your children equally as well, and reminding them how they have been created perfectly by the will and the command and amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never makes any mistakes. And these things that you have in your mind or feelings and emotions, these are not subject for you to go and change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that gender is a very, very important aspect of our conversations that we need to be having with our children. And then we carry on to the next aspect, because all of these things, they are all interlinked, as we've discussed last Jummah and the Jummah before, and we need to be understanding these things and communicating these things with our children. The next element is the element of modesty, of haya, which is a very, very important thing. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam very clearly mentions in many ahadiths that when your children reach the age of 7, of the age of some understanding and discernment, then you should separate their beds. i.e. they should be sleeping in a separate bed and they should no longer be sleeping with the parents as well, because they have come to this awareness of who they are and of their organs and various other aspects as well of their who they are and their identity and their biology. And similarly, not to undress before your children as well. And also for us to be discussing the importance of haya to our children as well. Children are born with this inbuilt haya meter within them, but it is up to you to either chip away at that haya and remove that with time, or for you to encourage the growth of that haya within your child as well. And the haya, remember, and the hijab is not just of the eyes, but also of the heart, of the ears, of the smell, of your senses, of your hands and of your feet as well. In various parts of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses haya and hijab and sharam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the males and the females. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن. That tell the male, the believing males and the believing females, women, to protect their eyes, to lower their gaze, to protect their hearts, and to safeguard their private parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about these things, about the element of modesty and haya and the importance of that. Because once haya goes, then all other types of bishadmi and bihaya and fahsha, then they enter, and then once that is chipped away, then their identity and gender and everything else also changes as well. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Ya bani Adam, khuzu zinatakum, and qad anzalna alaykum libasin yuwari. So ayatikum warisha, that O children of Adam, we have sent down clothing for you to conceal your private parts. But how much rampant is it in our society now that people, even though they may be wearing clothes, they still look indecent, they still look immodest, they are wearing tight and transparent clothing or provocative type of clothing, whether for a male or for a female as well, and they are cross-dressing as well. All of these elements are for us to wake up and realize, and for us to ask ourselves, what are we allowing my daughter to wear? No, it does matter. Of course it matters. I see certain sisters and, you know, people around in the community, and I look down when you think, what are they wearing? How can a parent allow somebody to wear that? But no, it starts from a young age. And if you don't stop it, then of course, then it'll become the norm to wear even more tighter leggings and even more tighter tops and even more higher slits on the side and even more provocative type of clothing and low cuts and so many other things as well. And it goes same for the males as well, with their earrings and their studs and their bracelets and their hairstyles and so many other things. All of these things have been regulated by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, by our beautiful deen and how a male should be, how distinctly he should be and how he should appear. And the lihya is there. It's not just, you know, pot luck that males have beards and males have mustaches and males have these particular bulk features and females are slim and in their particular design. It is all part and parcel of the creation and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever you go against that, then you will see all of these things happening. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْ. And if a person stops having sharam, stops having haya, stops dressing modestly and behaving and speaking modestly, then he will do whatever he wants, because that barrier, that parda, is removed. That if he feels no shame, then do as you wish. And that person will do as they wish. Today your children will wear what they wish, tomorrow they will say what they wish, and then the day after they will behave as they wish, and they will no longer be on the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. They will be on the path of their nafs and their hawa, and the path of the shaitan. And it is our duty to make sure that we maintain them on the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. We maintain their gender, their identity, their core and who they are. We remind them of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them perfectly. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned you, then he fashioned in the most beautiful, most comprehensive of manners. And these things are our duty to provide that counter narrative within the religious sphere, madaris, masajid, within the home, because the liberals and the secularists will continue to do what they want to do. But if you just stay quiet and say, chalo, theek hai, padhaan deo, and karan deo, and you don't provide a counter, narrative, you don't provide a solution, then you will be losing not only this generation but many, many generations to come. And inshallah al-Aziz, we will continue with a few more elements next week and other inshallah al-Aziz things. Wa qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khairan.